I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's time for the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn.
Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, welcome to the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer. Wes Durham and the head coach of the Falcons is here. And then Calvin Ridley is going to join us in our player spotlight later in this hour. And no two ways to get around yesterday. Hard-fought ball game, classic Falcons, Saints stuff, Coach. And I know you guys are disappointed you didn't get the win.
We were. And we just felt like we missed some of the ops in some of those critical winning moments. The first one being a two-minute at the end of the half. We thought we'd, you know, get a chance to either finish the half or, you know, get some points out of it. They ended up getting three. And then at the end of the game, we thought they had another shot, tie ball game. A minute left, a couple timeouts in there in our pocket, and go down and have a chance to give it to Matt to win it, and we missed the mark on that one. So when they had it back in overtime, that's where it always gets tough, and those are those razor-sharp edges that you just got to nail because it's that close.
Yeah, I think you do a good job of continuing to teach and try to get these guys to understand there's moments in games. You talk about them winning moments. I thought there was another series of downs in the game about 8 minutes to go, third quarter. You're up 21-16 with a short field op after the face mask on the punt. Ryan runs for seven, and then you get the holding call, a couple incompletions, and now it's a blocked punt. Uh-huh. The next thing you know, it kind of flips the thing around. That short field opportunity was another one of those you're talking about, take advantage of.
Yeah, that's the example we would say that the fender bender turns into a fatality. Mm-hmm. And they had plenty of chances, you know, bringing pressure on the punts, and that just can't happen and expect to play well. Both quarterbacks, you know, were on it and, you know, lighting it up as you'd expect it would be. I thought the missed tackles defensively for us was a problem. It wasn't the first guys to miss a few on their running back, but at the end of it, that part of our game needs to improve. We'll shine a light on that hard.
Well, that's part of what you're building here. I mean, that stuff is going to be a – there's an expectation there.
That's correct. I would have thought we would have had some of the missed tackles as an opening game, but not on our third game. And that part, you know, we know we can play better, and we certainly will.
Yeah, I think that there may be a misnomer about how the game was supposed to play out from a fan perspective. This game played out pretty much the way you wanted it to, where the way you wanted to play defense. You knew Breeze was going to pick and pap, but you've designed this defense to run and tackle an open field. And there were some misleverages of the ball.
That is
correct.
You
had a couple opportunities. And that's something you can easily teach and fix. You hope you got to get it done next week.
We have to. And when you see those missed tackles, two people, you know, we're a leverage-based tackling team. So when you miss on your leverage for a tackle, some of their explosive plays, especially in pass and in run, were due to missed tackles, you know, some catch-and-run plays. So we knew they were, you know, a good screen team. That part didn't hurt us as much as some of the tackle just in regular space.
Well, the news on Sunday night was tough, and then the news today was tougher. Ricardo Allen's going to miss the rest of the year with the Achilles injury. And, you know, we've talked about it on the air. Your conversations with us have been very candid. He's been great. You just feel for him, and you know what it does to the team, but just a great guy, too.
He's awesome guy. And we talked about him a lot, what he means to our team. I've been, you know, kind of referenced the story when we signed him to the contract in training camp. We brought him up in front of the room and said, if you've been impacted off the field by Ricardo, please stand up. And, you know, must have been 75 people did. So what I told the team today is we've got great trust in the guys that are coming up. He has mentored so many people. The best way to pay it forward is to show him how much the work that he's put in with you, DeMonte, or with you, whomever those roles are. You know, a guy like Duke Riley. And so although we missed a lot of tackles, there were zero by Duke Riley. And he had 11 tackles in the game, and he's somebody that spends a lot of time with Rico and talking about technique and leverage. And so I thought that's the best way to pay it forward to guys like Rico and Kiki and Andy, who made an impact off the field is the Shohei man. The work that you've put in with me and sharing about your craft has made a big impact, and I'm going to do that.
Boy, I think that's such a great way to put it, pay it forward. The opportunity is to pay tribute to what he brings. I could be one of those guys. If I'd been in the room, I'd stood up. I've talked to Rico every Wednesday. I love to go talk to him and just talk ball.
Yep.
And he'll tell me about what I should be looking for in my job.
Yep.
And here he is directing traffic, yep. And he's not. I'm up in the booth. You
that
know?
Sounds exactly like him.
It's amazing what he brings to the table from a teammate, leadership, preparation, and then – the guy's a pretty damn good football player when he steps on the field
yep,
as well.
He's an excellent tackler, one of our very best. And I'll be excited for KZ because I know he'll do well. And he's had an excellent mentor in Rico to help him. So it's let's face it, there's a person behind all of these injuries. And
yep.
In this instance with Kiki and with Rico and those two safeties, the bond that those two have amongst with their teammates, they'll find their own way to impact the team. Both of them will. Talking about Kiki and Rico.
Q, you do such a good job of cross-training guys. I don't think it's even going to be any more evident than right here. Because you've got guys on this team that you put on this team because of their athleticism, what they can
right.
do for you defensively. Isaiah Oliver, Brian Poole, guys that you can move, mix and match,
right.
and put them on the field. Yeah, that might be playing in a safety as opposed to here, but they have the capabilities and understand what you're trying to get done defensively.
Right.
And so you're not as down personnel-wise as it may seem
no.
when you start talking
right.
about all those
and
players.
I know the storyline from outside the building with all the injuries and excuses, but every guy on this team has a role, and we're going to feature him in the very best way. And we got a whole locker room full of tough-ass competitive guys, and I expect us to play really well on defense, and we will.
It's interesting because we got a little bit of the glimmer, I guess, from the injuries with Deion and certainly yesterday with Foye plays a lot for you.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Isaiah Oliver in the contest. We saw Steven.
It was good to get him, his yeah. first action, really, because, he sprained his ankle in the last preseason game. So it was hard for him watching for a couple weeks, but he's got such good length and speed. We were anxious to get him into his first, in first game.
And then with Tack and Derek down, we get a little of Justin Zimmer yesterday.
Yep.
I guess what I'm getting at is, and I said this kind of in passing to Arch, it's going to take a village, to put the team together. You're going to have to, everybody in town's going to have to help here at some
point. Yeah, it's the old adage, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And that means you have to take a little more on teams and you have to have a little bigger role. And that was Brooks Reed this week and who has to do what. And we'll get some of the guys back and hopefully Tack will be back and we'll see where it goes with Free and Shelby as it gets, the week started. But heading into it, sometimes that happens. But make no mistake, if you're on this team, there is a role that you will be counted on to play and deliver, and we expect you to. That's the standard.
Your offensive side of the football performed at a pretty high level from
yep.
a passing game standpoint. I know you didn't get out of the run game, which you necessarily wanted.
Correct.
You talked a little bit about that in your press conference. Talk a little bit more about that, Q, how it facilitates what you want to do in the passing
and,
game.
And it really closes the circle of the toughness that we like on our team. So when we had this many misses and that many runs, I didn't like how that felt at the line of scrimmage. So our play-action game, you guys saw firsthand what that looks like and, the shots that we can take down the field. So for us to be at our best, you got to have both. And when you do, and linebackers and safeties are stepping up for the run, you can rip behind them, with some shots. And then when they're having to sit back, playing for a play pass, and then here comes, another run with Cole or Free and Ito, and that's when we have to be at our best. So we took our shots in the run game, but we didn't nail them like we needed to.
When you guys go to put the game plan in, you talk about the run, and you may have to chip a little bit to,
yep.
Get a couple here, four here, whatever. Is there a magic number somewhere that you're thinking about to say, okay, we got to run it at least to this in order to get the other wheels turning on the
yeah,
back?
Yeah, on the first and second down, as it goes through it, you're usually looking somewhere in the 25 range, for those kind of touches. That usually, through the course of the whole game, you feel that way. So at the half, you're hoping that you're, somewhere between, 10 and 15 to get it started and see what ones you like and what ones you want to come back to. So in this game, we just happened to have some of our fouls came on the runs. Mm. And I think we had 3 fouls on offense, and all of them were in the run game. We had a couple that got knocked back for some TFL. So when the efficiency isn't quite as good as you like, we're, 6 or 7 of them aren't going, man, you got to keep digging at them. But I thought Sark did a nice job of staying with it, even though our run game wasn't getting the shots. We like it kind of felt like an old Carolina game at sometimes where you were trying to run it. It was hard to get the ball down the field in the run game, but you had some chances because they were playing aggressive in that way.
Can you quantify, as the old defensive coordinator come out in you, talk about preparation when you have a guy like Calvin Ridley did what he did yesterday, knowing that Julio and Sanu are out, how hard is that to prepare for each and every week to get ready for another guy?
And I think now that we're all starting to see the speed and the explosiveness that he has, and so it's in – it's his physicality. It's the way he likes to finish. And then you saw some shot plays yesterday.
Yeah.
And you guys have seen it. It's the speed that he goes with at practice. He constantly empties the bucket at practice and just goes back for more and goes back for more. So I saw that from the very first time he was here. And I see it right now. Each week he's one of the highest speed guys we have. You can probably guess who the other one usually is. But the two of them, you know, are constantly going at a speed that is, when Matt rips it down the field, man, he's got to throw it a long way because they're going for it. So they're not the only ones, you know, where it's Hooper and how do we get Coleman and Freeman and everybody involved. I think that's the whole part of it. There won't be games where lots, you know, one guy may get 10 or 12. It's we're better 8 guys getting catches.
Yeah.
And different guys getting involved. And Sanu has a first down here. And then here's another one to Julio. Then oh, let's take a shot to Calvin if we're going to lean over to Julio. So generally in my past when I've seen that, if you're trying to take one too much, you kind of attack where they're weak. And if you feel like you're going one other way, and then you go back to the other way. So it's a way to balance, you know, all of the weapons out.
When you get ready to squeeze the trigger and make that decision on Calvin Ridley, which was something that was well thought out, it was something you guys had planned well before the draft ever started. How much can you look into what his work ethic is? How do you find
you
that
better.
Information? Yeah,
you better, because on the way that Thomas and I look at it, it's the competitiveness and toughness that better lead the way. And he had that part down just right. It was the style and attitude that he played with. And so you first look at just the targets that went to him, and then you go back to see what does he do without the ball
right.
and the blocking and the physicality that he does. So I just keep seeing him getting better as we're going, and he's gaining more confidence as well. He's a really, really hard worker. He really puts it in.
Calvin's coming up in the player spotlight with Coach with Dave and I, but we're going to come back more with Coach Quinn. We're at Flowery Branch on a Monday. Falcons fall in overtime to the Saints, and here comes the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll touch on Marvin Lewis. And Cincinnati, who lost in Charlotte yesterday, ironically. We'll do that and more. The Dan Quinn Coaches Show continues on a Monday from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9.
Now, let's go back to Flowery Branch for more of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Cave.
Falcon fans have a chance to save up to $100 a Kauffman Tire this season when your Falcons score a touchdown. For each quarter the Falcons score a touchdown, you save $25 at any Kauffman Tire that store the next day. Yesterday, the team scored in all four quarters, so Falcon fans saved the full $100 on a set of four select tires. Today only now, get into Kauffman Tire, visit kauffmantire.com or your local Kauffman Tire store for the details. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons.
And we're back at Flowery Branch with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. Calvin Ridley coming up in the player spotlight as we continue on a Monday. Falcons fall in overtime to New Orleans. I hate to say that the Falcons and Saints played to the script yesterday, but they kind of played to the script. You know just the principles in this. I mean, 4 years in, this thing is this thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked to him about it last week, and it was kind of funny. I said to Dave during a commercial, well, here we go again.
Yep.
And if you don't have a vested interest, it's a hell of a game, Dan.
It is a hell of a game. And, you know, likely in this game with these two guys, the way they battled, the quarterbacks, the whole thing – both guys hit their spots and hit their marks and when are those moments at the end to nail it. And, you know, those are the little moments we got to make sure when they arrive that we own those. And we didn't do enough of that yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that that's the message I certainly got out of your press conference. Hey, we're disappointed we didn't win. We're not discouraged with what we've got going on. And we know there's some things to go fix. And you talked about making sure that we understand the importance of leverage and tackling.
Yep.
And understand the importance of those moments.
Last year, we got a chance to play them again quickly. I certainly wish that was the case again.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish we could play them again tomorrow, but you don't get those. You know, you don't get the second option. You got to, you know, nail them when you go. I told the team, you know, make sure our process is right. You know, when you get you play well, you know, you get the information that you did well. When you play poorly or you don't nail it, you get criticized. Both of it's information. How do you deal with it? And how do you get your process right so you get your improvement right?
All right, you've been given a few things to hurdle over here in the last couple of weeks, most notably this injury situation. I know that's not an excuse and you like your team, but I know you've been through this before in one shape or another.
Yep.
What's the most important thing for this team going forward, knowing that they're having to deal with it without,
right,
especially
on
defense, three real horses?
Yeah, I think the thing outside the building, one, don't buy the lie, you know, that you don't have enough to play exceptionally well, because you 100% do. I think the second piece of that is you don't have to do more than you do. Offensively, you don't have to pick it up. You got to play like you can. We got a bunch of really good players that need to play really well. They don't have to play the game of their life. They just have to play good football. And same thing defensively. You don't have to play above what you're capable of. You just have to play really good all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're striving to do, and that's what we'll do. It's that there is no other option. We like solving the problem. So what do? You go attack them, and you find ways to put players in the best spots to do what they do. So that's what we'll do. We'll address them. We'll attack the problems and then put the guys in the best things that they do well, not the things that they don't.
Q, I've been asked about, okay, Deion Jones, Keanu O'Neill, who's kind of a quiet leader, leads by the example, and obviously Ricardo Allen, who kind of encompasses both those guys the way he takes care of his business. So three example and vocal leaders to a certain extent gone off the team. Who fills the void? I've tried to tell people that that's where the process and everything you've put together from what the brotherhood is and what the culture is, these players that are brought in fit that mold, so it's next guy up. And I know it's a cliche thing, but it works.
And the cliche is okay in this instance, because it is the absolute ultimate brotherhood moment to say, not only have you helped train me and taught me the standard, but now I can uphold that standard that you've passed down to me. There's a bunch of leaders on this team. Grady Jarrett's a fantastic leader. Well, so is Devondre Campbell, by the way. And he's somebody that, and so is Kamal Ishmael, who, by the way, who's not afraid to have the uncomfortable conversations. And so within that group of guys, each position group has their own way that they lead. Sometimes it's in the meeting room. Sometimes it's out on the practice field. Sometimes it's, you know, on the sideline during the game. And on this group, there's a number of guys that can step up and do that. And we really are counting on that.
Is this stuff that, and in your years of coaching, is this stuff that when it happens during the season, all the other things that go on in the team concept, maybe before you even get to training camp, is this where that stuff leverages?
I would say that's probably pretty accurate, because there's going to be adversity during the season. There just is. There's no way around it. There's no way, you know, and so it's like when it comes, you almost bring it on, welcome it, you know, like I've been waiting for you. And so now we are equipped to go handle this. So sometimes when those problems come, you're ready to go attack them, because they're going to happen. So if you try to hide under a rock or, you know, play the role of the victim, man, you are looking in the wrong place, because that is not our nature one bit.
Q, I heard you talking in your presser, and we'll remind kind of the fan that maybe missed that. You talked a little bit about one of the questions you were asked quite a bit about, and you're going to continue to get asked about until we get a number of sacks, is pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
And you quantify that by moving him off the spot, changing the timing. There's a lot of reasons and how that looks like. How do you generate some more of that? Because I know it wasn't up to maybe your qualifications last weekend.
Definitely was not. And that part for us to be at our best, when do you go take your shots, Arch, as the, you know, as the rusher? It's not just a third down. There could be a second down play that, okay, I got an alert here. I need to play this like it's third down. And so how many plays within that game can you turn into third down plays? Pressure can come from blitzing. That's one way to do it. Five or more, you can certainly generate pressure with four, and oftentimes that's the best. Now you have another player available in coverage to do that. As much three deep zone as we play, the four-man rush is a big part of that. So that part of our game, we need work there, and we'll continue to develop that.
Looking at Marvin Lewis's team, lost yesterday in Charlotte to the Panthers, four turnovers in the ball game.
Yep.
But yet I see veteran guys, I see talented guys, both sides of the ball, a group that's consistently been to the playoffs. Interesting group for you to see after a couple of division games.
And we really recognize the skill set that they have on offense at running back, at receiver, at tight end. They've got an excellent secondary and corners and speed. So I think from a skill standpoint, they match up against us speed wise. You guys will like that matchup when you see it. For a long time, I've been impressed by Dunlap and Atkins inside. They've just proven themselves to be really rock solid, good pass rushers, and I've been impressed by them. But I think more than anything, it's their speed that they have. Much like our offense, they've got some guys that can really go, and it'll be a hell of a matchup and a lot of fun.
Yeah, when you look at these are teams you don't see very often.
That's right.
How much can that affect preparation? I mean, you're getting ready for what you see on tape, but does it ever affect you? You obviously see New Orleans twice a year.
Yeah, sometimes it's good. Like what you don't know, I could certainly say playing the Falcons before I got here, I didn't know as much about Julio. If I'd known what I know now, I'd been way more, do you know what this guy can do?
Yeah.
So they've got some guys, a guy like AJ and, just the speed that they have. But you stay true to the process, Arch. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing, to say you have a real way that you go about getting ready. And I think the first week or two of the season, you make a couple of small tweaks to get that part right. But now that you're in it, man, each week it's the same format. And then by the time you get to Saturday night, you're really ready. It's already in your brain. You can rely on that information. Now you go put the work in.
How much does it help you? You just played Carolina.
Yep.
And then they play Carolina.
Right.
The closeness of a team that you know extremely well and you just played them, does that help prepare
for a team? It definitely helps because you know them more intimately because of the scheme that they play, the style of player that's playing against them. So you have a better sense like, hey, he ran around that guy and we know how good he is. Mm-hmm. Or those are things that you can look at for sure.
Yeah, it's unique that you see these transitions with divisions every once in a while.
That's right.
They're not necessarily always back-to-back, but in this case they are.
Correct.
So it does help you from an evaluation standpoint.
On that side, it does. And as you go through their offseason, making Bill Lazor there,
right,
all the way for the first time here. And you guys may even remember Bill from way back here. So excellent coach, especially good with the quarterback. So I've been impressed by what I've seen so far from them.
You mentioned Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. They've also got talented guys at linebacker.
That's right.
And a rookie safety, Jesse Bates, who's come in out of Wake Forest and played really well for them. Your offensive line, you went through a change. Obviously, Levitre to IR last week after our visit. Wes Schweitzer starts there yesterday. You pleased with kind of the new set there, and where do you want to improve there?
Well, number one, for us, getting our run game going. That's a number one at the top of the list. It's such an important part of what we do, and so we'll work hard to get that part right. I love Wes's intensity in the run game. That's always been part of his strength. And then in the protection-wise, these are two good rushers, and they've got a good blitz package, with Terrell and what they've done through the year, and certainly Marvin as well. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but they got to deal with us as well and the way that we attack and the way we'll go after it. So the preparation, begins now and takes us all the way through the week, but as it gets down closer to the game, that's when the shift happens, and our intensity, our mindset should take over. And I couldn't have been more pumped for the fans yesterday, man. What an awesome environment it was to coach in and for the guys to play in. It's exactly what we'd hoped it would become, and so it's getting better and better every game. It's been awesome.
It's amazing week to week, Q, when you look at the National Football League. You guys, there was a maybe Philly controlled the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Last week you controlled the line of scrimmage. This week it was kind of maybe a little bit of a push. Maybe New Orleans had some moments. You had some moments. And now you got another matchup coming up. We look at Minnesota, has Buffalo come in, who got blown off the field in week one, and they get ripped in their own building. Boy, you better come to play every Sunday.
And that's part of championship preparation, what it means. And so just throw it in all this week and own this moment right now. Let's worry about things way down the line later. It's just about this game, this matchup, and how do we go win this game. And it starts for us, that process, of getting ready and putting the install in and training the guys. And like that old Etch a Sketch we used to have, these 90s babies, they don't remember that, but the little game and shake it back up and then you start fresh again, so it's right back to it.
Cue an Etch a Sketch.
I mean?
I'm glad you classified it, by the way. Yeah, that's exactly what
before
you
before cell phones came out, iPads.
Thanks as always for the visit. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. 1 o'clock start on Sunday with the Bengals and the Falcons. Stay tuned. Calvin Ridley comes up next in our player spotlight with Dave Archer, Wester, and we're live at Flowery Branch. Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday continues after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time now for the player of the game on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Flowery Branch, Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday with Dave Archer, Wes Durham on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time for the player segment, and pretty appropriate. Breakout game for Calvin Ridley yesterday. Three touchdowns. First rookie in the league to have a three-touchdown game since Odell Beckham, and set a Falcon record. And congratulations on the effort. I know at the end, I heard you say to Arch yesterday in the locker room, you wanted to get the win, man.
Yeah, it was. I felt pretty good how I played, but unfortunately, we didn't get the win, and that's what we played for.
I've had a number of people ask me about you, and they say, "Wow, it looks like the game's really slowing down for Calvin." I said, "The game's been pretty slow since Cal got here. I mean, they've been pretty polished when you got here. Talk about your training." And kind of when you got here, you felt like you were ready to roll.
Yeah, when I first got here, I felt, comfortable. I just, I wanted to get better with the plays. I'm really just, learning the plays better, learning how they want me to run the routes and where to be at for Matt. So I'm just getting comfortable. And, like, practice, is really helping me just, being in the right spots. And, just, getting those looks and stuff, being in there, it helps a lot. So I'm getting real comfortable.
I want to tie something to the ball game yesterday, to social media. You got your braces off this past week, right?
Yeah.
So is that what happens? We get the braces off and it's three touchdowns and now we're rolling?
Man, yeah, I'm so happy I got those braces off. They hurt for a long time, man.
I remember my kids had them on.
Even time for them to come off. I had seen a dentist in the facility, and I was like, man, you think you could take these off? He was like, yeah, come by tomorrow. I went.
Showed up, right?
Took them off, yeah.
So often when you arrive at a place, and I know you've talked about Julio and Muhammad and Justin and all the veteran guys that have kind of helped you and welcomed you and put their arms around you. But when you look at tape, you seem to be, from what I can see based on the way you react to stuff that might be unscouted, you have that an unbelievable ability to react to it. And so obviously this training goes beyond what those guys have been able to help you with. Where did that come from? Obviously it goes back to your college days, maybe high school.
I always watch other guys that were better than me. I did that a lot. I still do it, watch YouTube all the time just to watch moves. And I feel like if I watch it, I can do it. If I see someone do it, I can do it too. So it's just really just put my mind that if I want to make a move, I can do it. And if I want to cut a certain way, I can do it. I feel like I can do it.
Is it something that you get year after year, or is it something that, you kind of create a list in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, I practice this stuff too. I mean, I go out there in off season and I practice these cuts. I do footwork drills and I do a lot of leg things to get my legs stronger so I can cut real good. And I just think of a lot of ways that I can, make moves and help myself get open in all type of ways.
Falcons number one draft pick, Calvin Ridley, with us here on the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cal, I think that the thing that impresses me is the impromptu stuff. I think that obviously you're well-trained and you're well-skilled and you've worked on your stuff, but it's the stuff that happens that impromptu. Matt Ryan, they drop 8 into coverage or 7 into coverage. It's in the red zone. Ryan pumps. He doesn't have anybody to throw it, and he escapes left. You're running a deep over route on the back line. You put your foot in the ground, drive back the other direction. I mean, just immediately your football awareness to get to an open hole, to get Ryan the football. I mean, I know you'll say that's second nature, but not everybody does that. Tell me about that play and what you were thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I had a swirl route and I ran it, and I seen Matt scramble out, and then it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, I'm going to keep playing to the last whistle. So I just ran around. I gave my best effort to get open, and Matt put a great ball.
Were you pretty sure you brought both feet down? Because it was close, because you had the 1 foot down as the ball entered your hands, and then
– Yeah, I caught it and I ran out, and in my head, I'm like, that's touchdown. But then when I got to the sign and they reviewed, I'm like, man, I don't even know anymore. I didn't know. And then I was like, yeah, they got it.
Yeah, they did.
There's that moment of uncertainty.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
You know what you did.
I was like, man, I can't believe I just did that. I really didn't get in there.
When you they tried to put P.J. Williams on you, 26 was the guy trying to cover you. And I say trying because he didn't get it done. You ran the stop and go on him. For a touch, which was a great sell. Then you beat him on a fade against press coverage.
And then all of a sudden I started looking up, and all of a sudden number 23 started, they started migrating somebody else over on you. Could you see that you kind of defeated him a little bit mentally?
Yeah, I seen they made a little switch, but, you know, I just kept playing. You know, we were moving the ball pretty well.
Calvin Ridley with us here on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday at Flowery Branch. Okay, we come from Tuscaloosa. I want to know more about Coconut Creek, though. I'm more interested in the whole South Florida thing here and what that meant, because, you know, Devontae's a Miami guy. There's several South Florida guys on this roster. Yeah. What does that mean to Calvin Ridley, this progression of football now in your kind of your journey?
Well, I ain't from Coconut Creek. I just went to high school there, really. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah. And, I mean, that's where I really learned how to play football. I mean, right outside.
Always a receiver?
No. Quarterback, running back, I can do
all
that.
All the best players played quarterback at some point.
Quarterback, running back, defense.
Yeah?
I played any position.
So when was the cut to wide receiver?
High school, ninth grade.
And that was it?
I went to ninth grade, and the first time I ever played wide receiver was ninth grade. Varsity. Wow. I played varsity.
Who was your guy? And I know Julio, because you guys went to the same college, there's an obvious tie to Julio Jones and a number of the receivers that have played. Amari Cooper, guys that have played there. Was there a guy when you were a freshman, you know, I'm going to receiver, was it Antonio? Who was it? Antonio Brown, somebody like that? I mean,
it really was Amari Cooper, probably. Okay. Yeah, because I like Antonio Brown a lot, though. But it was Amari Cooper, and I was just used to watch him a lot. Thought he was really, really good. He's a really good route runner, and yeah, he can really get open, and he creates so much separation. He's really good.
Now, we hear about this off-season stuff in Tuscaloosa. It's real, isn't it?
Yeah, man. We go to work out there. We go to work. Fun, though, because we all be together. And it's, yeah. So, everybody's together. We working out. And
talk game the whole bit.
Yeah, we meet in the mornings, and we work out, and we eat. We get treatment. It's pretty cool.
So you got all these guys coming back.
All the guys come back.
Think about the competition in that now.
Yeah, so I got to go back. I got to go to school, and I'll be doing that in school, and then I hang out with them, work out, and it'll be like a student again.
Yeah.
How much you got left? How much school you got left?
I think I got a semester.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, one semester.
What are you studying?
Criminal justice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's big. I read somewhere that's important to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get that done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to get it. I'll be, you know, the first in the family to get it. So that's very important to me.
That's spectacular. All right. You're a young guy on this team, but your influence on the team has obviously been felt over the last couple of weeks. As you go about your business, and obviously you're going to depend on Julio and those other guys to maybe be a little bit more verbal, you're going to go to work and get ready to go. How can you show your work ethic and shoving that game in the rearview mirror and getting ready for Cincinnati?
By just, you know, putting that behind me. It was a good game, you know, a good performance. By putting that behind me, going to work tomorrow, today, and, you know, getting better every day and getting ready for the next game and do it again.
Has this kind of been staged for you? Do you think of it as happening in a stage? I mean, this is the stage between the draft and mini camp to training camp.
I think it's just all hard work. I mean, I go out there, I work hard, I run hard, I go fast, I put in the hours, I catch as many balls as I can after practice. I think it's just hard work. Just, you know, going out there and putting in the work.
He does. I get a chance to go out at practice on Wednesdays, and I see he and Robert Alford out there, and they're within 5 feet of the jugs gun. And that, let me tell you something, that's going to knock you down if it hits you. And these guys are just reeling them in. It's amazing. Is that something you've always done?
Yeah, I did it in college, but I'm like up right now. I catch a lot after practice, so I'm really proud of that, and I'm continuing to do it.
You had a deep in route that the ball kind of slipped on you a little bit, but you did a good job of re-squeezing.
So what happened right there was what people don't realize what I be doing sometimes is I jumped when I caught it. When I jumped, I shouldn't have jumped. I should have stayed on my feet, caught the ball, looked it in, and ran. I was trying to run, jump, and turn my head, so I almost lost it, so I had to re-grab it. So yeah. I've been just trying to run before I get the ball all the time.
The one I got a kick out of was the one where you're coming underneath and Keekly was coming out
last week. Yeah.
And you missed it, and then you showed Keekly what you were going to do to him. I was going to step around.
I had seen him, and, like, I seen the ball, so, okay, I'm already running without the ball, and I was like, I'm going to go around him. I'm going to run right around him. Like, I lost the ball. So I just got to focus on the ball, keep my eyes on it, make the catch, then run.
Well, great to have you with us. Thanks for the time this week. Appreciate it.
Thank
keep,
you all
keep
so
balling,
much.
Man.
Calvin
yes,
Ridley
sir.
Joining us on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, stay tuned. More Dukes and Bell coming up next as Falcons Monday continues on Sports Radio 92.9.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.